It's 9 o'clock. Let's get the meeting started. Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, January 25th, 2018, and we are here for a county administrative workshop, the Board of County Commissioners, conference room. Present are Commissioner Hare and Commissioner DeYoung. Commissioner Morgan is up north attending a conference. Item one is Department Business, 1A. Department Business is Property Control Office. One, a report and recommendation for disposable property pursuant to ordinance number 2014-003003. And with us is Carrie Lee, Property Control Specialist.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
So it's a, I don't have a copy of it. I didn't feel I needed one. You're fine. It's just another list of property that we want to dispose of according to the ordinance. Many of the items I haven't physically looked at yet, and so I don't assume their value is very much, but I just put them on the list just in case it is, to cover all the bases. So do you have any questions regarding this list or anything else?
When you have, it looks like almost all of these are under $500.
Yeah, that's my assumption, but once I look at the item, it could be over. It's unlikely that it will be over, but just to cover all the bases, I go ahead and put them on there.
Okay. Is 500 a good breaking point? I mean, is it?
That's what we put according to the county ordinance, the 04003, because anything less than that, unless it's like tools and stuff like that, really isn't worth the time it takes to do the preparations.
Okay.
So you just send them out to the auction company? Where they come in and
I throw a lot of stuff away.
Okay.
Now,
you donate it or something?
I donate clothing. I donate quite a bit of clothing to like the mission and stuff like that.
What about like a local thrift store?
I have donated that also to the mission. I just take it to the alley down here and drop it off.
Do we on items like tools and a lot of this stuff you would find in a pawn shop?
Yes.
Do we contract, or do we get a hold of the pawn guy down on 6th Street and say, hey, I've got a bunch of stuff that didn't auction, and have him come and make you an offer on all of it? Is that an option?
I have not done that.
I mean, rather than throw it away.
Well, usually I don't throw tools away. They would go to...
What do you throw away? You said you threw stuff away.
Garbage. We get a lot of garbage or paraphernalia. We break all the paraphernalia and backpacks from transients are usually pretty nasty.
Sure.
Okay, so you're talking about, I guess that's a good question. What is it? And I guess that would, because it comes in as evidence, so it's everything gathered at a scene.
Right.
Have you ever gone through like a group of stuff that's been deemed ready to go and... You should go take a look at it. I haven't done it.
Yeah, I've been out on a tour. Yeah, I've been out
and
Karen took me on a tour.
I'd like to take a look at whatever you're looking at.
Feel free to call me.
Great.
I always wonder, you know, sometimes when they say, yeah, I'm going to choose to just demolish an old house that's up on 10th Street. And they bring in, Copeland brings in the thumb, and the next thing you know, it's all in the back end of a, who knows if that little old man didn't put money in a wall the whole time he was living there.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother's scurried away like $100,000 in the 20s, and the house was up for auction. It was going the next day, and somebody was rolling up a carpet and found like $5,000 under the carpet.
If it was under there, you look at the rest of the house.
The whole family spent the entire rest of the night going through the whole house, and they got like $100,000. She didn't believe in banks. She had 3 or 4 houses. She got rent on cash. Crazy. Stuff like that happens.
It does happen.
I don't think that's happening in some transient back.
Remember those other houses?
No. Yeah, right?
You have an address on?
This is 50 years ago. Long time.
Okay, well, when you do this, you say you would like to see this stuff.
Oh, but we can move it forward.
We can move it forward. You know, but
I'll get there before it goes.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll approve.
I'll be moving a bunch of stuff over to that particular area today, I hope.
Okay.
Go get your D.
When do you anticipate your auction?
I haven't set a date yet. The sheriff I have to get authorization from the sheriff for all that information.
Okay. All right. Anything else,
no.
Commissioner? Well, I think it's great.
Thank you.
Clears it out.
More stuff going.
Yeah. That was an interesting tour of your facility out there.
It has its ebbs and tides.
Yeah. So appreciate you doing that.
Okay.
Very well. I think we're all set to go on that, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Moving forward, next up is item B1, contract for personal services with Public Works. Contract for personal services with OBEC Consulting Engineers for the design, engineering, and permitting for the replacement of six county culverts. Chuck is here today, Dijonvier, I think. I don't speak French.
Dijonvier,
got it. I just need to listen to Alec Trebek more because he does a lot of French stuff.
He's Canadian.
And also Public Works Director, Mr. Bradley.
So I'll give you the quick overview. This is kind of going in line with what we've been talking about the last 6 months. Now that we actually have the House Bill 2017 that got the additional transportation funding, we've got some horsepower to start fixing things proactively. So we've got a list of, you know, we know our known 15 or 20 worst offenders for culverts, and we do not have the staff power inside to be running all of these. So we've contracted with OBEC. They've done quite a bit of work for us in the past to do some basic design on these things and get them scoped out. And I'll let Chuck talk about how the interplay is going to work, kind of where they give hand the ball off to us as these things are getting close to design completion.
I did a quick drive around with them, and we're Public Works is going to do the field work, the surveying, the inspection, and so forth. And OBEC would be doing the office, the calculations, the design, the permitting through the regulatory agencies. With the scoping, they figured that the number was a pretty good number. Not to exceed. They think they'll come in under that, but depends on what the regulatory agencies come up with. It was, I think, $140,000 for the whole contract. So. Basically, they're going to be doing the office stuff and the regulatory work with, you know, all the different in-water work folks out there. So
that breaks down, and we're talking six culverts here?
Yes.
So that's $25,000 a culvert?
Yeah.
And
hopefully worst case.
Worst case.
That's just the engineering?
Right.
Engineering and permitting.
The permitting's the killer, right?
Yeah.
So how big of culverts are these?
These are all large bore, 36 inch and above, and frequently deep. These are kind of the azalea-sized U Creek ones. These are the ones that we know they're out there. We want to start preemptively fixing.
Yeah, the one on Jump Off Joe actually is like 8 feet
in diameter.
Yeah.
What's the time frame of trying to get these done? Is it like this summer?
This fall for possibly a couple of them, but if not, then next summer.
None of them are an imminent failure like Azalea was, but the hope was to at least have a half dozen in the can to begin with, and we'll also be, you know, kind of taking the temp of the local construction market, because if the Robcos, Copelands, Mosiers, Knifes are all way the heck out, we may say, let's wait a year because we're going to get lousy numbers. So we've at least got the first six to attack.
I think that's been an issue with all construction projects, both the city, county, anything that we try to get done. You know, just the simple thing is a handicap ramp over next door, for Pete's sake. Mm-hmm. And you got nobody to respond. You know, mm-hmm. In the city side, that little flashing thing on East Street, if you're coming into town, the flashing crosswalk, it went from about 7,000 to well over 15,000 just because they were busy.
Yeah. Our guys' field inspections didn't show any of these as an imminent, got to fix it before next winter. If OBEC saw something different, we obviously would. But yeah, once we send these out for bid and the first one comes back lousy, we may say hunker down for a year. We're just going to continue to focus on catching up on the chip seal vegetation and those kinds of things.
And this $140,000, this consulting firm, they'll give you that priority list? Or do you give them the priority list and they verify it?
It'll be a mix. They'll give us, they'll design all six of these, and then in conjunction with them, we would look and say, okay, how much does this one cost to do? What's the urgency? And we're kind of prioritizing it by not only.
You already prioritized these are the six.
Yeah. Yes. Right. So beyond that, now, if there's two that are close and one's $400,000 and one's $100,000, we'll probably knock out the $100,000 first, kind of thing.
Or if the regulatory agencies say this culvert doesn't need any permits, then basically we're ready to go, and the other five will be next year. Something like that.
Okay.
Like I say, OBEC's done a ton of work with us. They do good work. They're very responsive, and they're local or close, so yeah.
Did you get other options? Or are you continuing, like, an existing contract in order to select this engineering firm. Is that too much sun?
No, it's okay. I'm going to lean right here. We try to rotate between the four or five. It's under the 150, so it is an informal, but we do try to rotate between the known four or five providers in the area.
So you have the same parameters that we have at 150? That seems... My thought was is that, so how many engineering staff do we have right now, and the capacity in-house is not there to accomplish this over the 2 years planned? And my thought, you could hire another engineer who could work on these six solely to correspond with the agencies. Have we done cost-benefit WAG on, wait a second, we're getting right, somebody else?
Yeah, right now, you can't find engineers out there.
How come we don't have capacity in-house? Don't we have
We have one engineer besides myself. And he's working right now full-time on the Merlin sidewalk project.
Okay.
We wanted to have something in the can for this build year.
Yeah. Because your revenues are coming in, right. Might as well.
Right.
And how often do we do this? I mean, you know, you say, well, let's go hire another engineer. Is it just, you know, you get him for this project, then you're kind of looking for work for him to do because he's on payroll?
There's a lot of work that we have. This was something that was fairly time critical as far as within the next year or two. Obviously my desire would be to bring somebody else on, and then it would be something we could always do in-house instead of, you know, we can do one big project and then we can't. It's like when we did Redwood Avenue, basically that pulled almost all of our resources when we designed that for the city.
And moving into budget for 18-19, you know, we discussed we're going to be bringing back probably six operations positions and two engineering. It wouldn't directly address this sort of thing. If we get lucky and get an engineer trained that's got some CAD experience, we would certainly be able to try and start coaching them towards this kind of thing. The focus of those two positions is going to be primarily inspection, traffic counts, those kinds of things. But if we get lucky, maybe somebody comes right out of school and says, hey, I want to take a stab at this.
Well, why do we have engineering in-house at all? I mean, I don't want to have that conversation, obviously, right now.
Right.
But it would feel as though there's a place to be and a place that it just doesn't make sense anymore that we have that stuff. I mean, all in-house, that we outsource at all. Has that ever been a cost-benefit evaluation? Not since I've been here, as long as I can remember.
We've outsourced far more than we used to have. We used to have three designers on staff at one point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're down to one at this point. So most of that has gone outside. The difficulty of recruiting that position is part of it as well. We do have a PLS in-house, a surveyor in-house, which is not typical. Luckily, we do now. So part of that staffing level is a matter, just a product of it's tough finding folks going into those fields anymore, and we definitely are doing more lower bore stuff with the traffic counts, the easier bridge work, those kinds of things than we used to be. I mean, 20 years ago we were still designing, you know, major road reconstructions.
I see, in my limited experience, I see advantages to both. I'll use the bus stop thing out here as an example. Because there was only, we were told at City Council that there was only one engineering firm that was certified to do bus stop work, just floored me, was an outfit out of Eugene, and their bill to the city of Grants Pass was $155,000. Mm-hmm. And then when we got the bus shelters from Minnesota or wherever they were built, they had an engineering stamp on it and a demonstration of what the footing should look like.
Right.
I don't know what the 155 went for, and that bothered me immensely in that process, but that was a state-funded project.
Huge amounts of permitting and jumping through state and federal hoops. I mean, I think long-term, the sweet spot we would like to be is probably a designer and a half, because, yeah, once you start getting north of two and three and things slow down, yeah, you can sit there and put as many projects into the can as you want. If you're never going to have enough funding to go build them, you're overstaffed. So.
Right.
That's the balance we need to try and strike.
Well, I would like us to continue to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
The other thing is we would need an engineer or somebody to take a look at the land use that comes through.
Right.
Okay. The new roads and so forth.
Any other questions, Commissioner?
I think this is part of a longer conversation, and I'm not comfortable just yet, but I don't want to have it right now. And so I think we've heard it, and we can...
Are you okay with moving this project forward, though?
No. I think I want to look at what are we doing as a trajectory as part of an overall package with the next 10 years, having a transportation package and saying, let's arrive at that sweet spot and understand where we're going, hiring two more, that proposal, all of that stuff. The other element is the making sure we're working on getting as close to that 100% maintenance. I know we've been talking about this for years. I think we're at that point. What does that look like? Are we going to get to there having hired 8 new construction people? Mm-hmm. Is that the priority, or how does it all fit into a larger picture? I'm not terribly opposed to this, and I think this has a small piece to play in that, but I think we use it as an opportunity to have a conversation on what sounds like a year or two project. These are inevitable. We have a lot of culverts out there, and I don't know that I have, I mean, we have like 100 bridges. I think I got that one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of culverts mm-hmm. out there. I don't know if we have as highly evaluated of the culverts and their integrity as we do with our bridges. You guys have been excellent at going out and evaluating where our bridges are to take advantage of grant money that was thrown out, left over. You got reappropriated here in Josephine County. We know our bridge infrastructure really well. I don't feel like I know. Do you guys know what our culvert infrastructure is? If you pick 6, you probably know that the other 700 or whatever we have out there, is it 1600? I don't know, it's a lot, right?
Depending on what the cutoff point is, yeah, right. Cross culverts, size-wise. There's 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah.
And I think that's our concern, is that if we say we've got 250 that are 36 inch and above and substantially deep, I don't want to get to a point where we're having to fix 10 in a year. So by getting some additional design in front of it, we can start picking off 2 or 3 a year as they're getting closer to that point.
We also inspect all culverts over 30 inches every 5 years, and this is the result out of those
okay.
inspections. So these are, in theory, our worst 6.
I do struggle with, when you guys come, you give us this. That would have been great. I you know what I mean? There's usually a picture that should be presented with what we're looking to do.
How did you get to this? What did you do to get to this proposal? So you just said,
how it fits in holistically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of our job here, is try to figuring out what the big picture is, not just giving this and saying, do you like that? Sure. I mean, on the face of it, it does make sense. My job is to look at, well, you could hire an engineer in-house. Tell me why that wouldn't work. Tell me that you've evaluated the fact that that's necessary, or that person, you need more than one person to do what you're asking them to do, probably because of the scope mm-hmm. of the permitting process with all of the regulatory agencies. And it's rare that one person is going to have the breadth of that. Mm-hmm. And being able to facilitate a 2-year project of 6 new
right.
culverts and that sort of deal. So, and you wouldn't be, you might be distracted by other things that come up and not actually get that done. How is this being funded?
Effectively with the new state street transportation yeah. fund. I mean, we've got money in the bank that's getting it started.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for it. But
and I guess, so here's my struggle. So 6 months ago, as the results from the management partner survey came around, there was discussion here that we have too many engineers and we don't know what they do. So I'm wrestling between too long and too short. Would it be helpful for the board to produce, I'm thinking, a document that shows generally how long this project takes on a holistic, to say a culvert of this size, a bridge
yeah.
this size, here's how many hours, here's how we intend to partition these out internally. Would that be
something
more helpful?
It's tough to defend. I mean, I didn't know that they're 8 feet in diameter and 30 feet down or
right, right.
20 feet down. And so I go out there and somebody says, you're spending $25,000 and you don't even know if you actually have to do, you know, the agency says, well, this isn't regulated. Or something that I can talk about. Why didn't you hire an engineer in-house? I don't know. That makes a good sense, because that's what you cost, is just a little bit more than right around that yeah. deal. Yeah. So I could hire another Dijon Bay for this, and
there's probably
why didn't I do that?
There's probably right now at us looking for at least a dozen engineers, at least, and consultants. This firm here is looking for 4
right
engineers.
So us putting in our
right.
chip yeah. 2 isn't going to really get us there.
Yeah. So yeah, so I mean, my comment is not meant as a dig or anything else, but
no.
I literally at 6 or 8 months ago, you know, this, I don't remember who said it, but it was yeah. kind of like, why is there so many engineers? So would it be helpful if we focused on, say,
again, and I would say that our biggest constituent challenge with public works is engineering.
Sure.
So,
but it's land use related
most of the time.
Right. So would it be helpful then if we were to come up with a breakdown of, say, projects that generally take over 100 hours to, say, big pieces? Next year, we would see a designer spending, you know, 500 hours on yeah. this, 400 hours here, 200 hours. Okay. We'll come back.
Something of that effect. I mean, just understanding the bigger picture and being able to say, yeah, yeah, we evaluated everything and this is the right decision to do. And it's part of a 10-year plan because we've got a 10-year revenue transportation package that the legislature just passed, and it's defensible.
Right.
Right now, I have really good people coming to me and saying, we need $145,000 for these six culverts for engineering. I don't have any reason to question that other than, did we ask all of these other questions? It sounds as though we've asked some of them, but I don't know that that's one of the reasons we don't need to have this conversation here.
Yeah.
I'm just not prepared to move it forward yet until we've had this conversation. It could be just us three or you three. And
why don't I'll push ahead then with coming up with a general. We're already working on what those two new positions would look like as a proposal for the 18-19 budget, and I think we'll line them out with saying, because I think that's the other hard part to convey is the length of time that some of this design stuff takes. The Redwood Avenue is a perfect example. Neil probably had pushing 1,000 hours on that project. I mean, by the time you're getting into, utilities, the right-of-way change, redesign the streets, those projects are hugely in time intensive. So somebody will look and say, God, I only did three projects that year. It takes
on the Redwood Avenue thing, did we charge, it was a city, that was a city project?
It was a city project.
Did we charge the city for that?
It's a county road that the city was paying to upgrade. So
we basically made an in-kind match.
Your design.
Your participation was design over there.
So I'm kind of, would that be helpful then to come back with a bigger project? Here's how many hours those types of things take. Here's how many I've seen in the future.
Part of it. I'm looking at the whole picture of, tell me that, yes, we can't have this person in-house. I know that there's other four that are looking and stuff. I mean, I don't know that. You just tell me that. But have we tried? And then does that make a difference when we go out to hire the other two? Those people are going to be available? Or does it make sense that somebody else hires it and we just contract with them like you're proposing? But it's kind of part of a plan. I'm less worried about the number of hours that it takes. That is what it is. What is your plan? Are you looking at reducing your engineering staff as a result of what we said? And is that why? Is that justified? Or do we not have enough? And is that the wag of why we have problems with or challenges constituent-wise with land use issues? And because we don't have enough of them. We can say and poke in the dark and say it's because we have too many. But the other answer could be we don't have enough. I don't know. Just a conversation we don't have to have right now, because Commissioner DeYoung should probably be going to a meeting at 10 o'clock if he chooses to do so.
Yes, I choose to do so.
Are you going to do that?
I'm going to do that. Yeah, okay, I think that's very important.
So let's just have a chat.
My question to you is when do you want to, when should we put this, what's our timeline? If we want to discuss this and get some parameters put together, how long is that going to take? I mean, I would like to see this thing move forward, because now is the time that you need, that these people need to be working on design.
We can come back next week with more.
Is that?
I'm trying to read between the lines as to what you guys are looking for, but we can come back with some additional data in terms of how long these things would take, and if you want us to get to some market data to say, here's what the market looks like right now to bring these folks in, here's the timeline to get these folks in.
Well, I think I'd be interested in why are these six something that you can't do in-house? And if you say, well, it's because it's over 42 inches or because it's down so many feet, what's the criteria for you saying, I'm going to farm this out because I can't do it in-house? Do you have an estimate of hours and say, this is going to cost us too much in-house, let's send it to the outside world? Do you have a matrix for that, or
it's time as much as anything? Okay. Again, if we were to design these in house, they're not going to be ready to go for this build season.
They won't be ready to go. That's one of the criteria. We're trying to stay on a timeline. I am not opposed to farming stuff out.
Me neither.
And I don't care whether it's a paving project or whatever. It'd be different if we didn't have any engineering firms locally or in the vicinity that could handle this, but we do. And do you say, okay, I'm going to put this on full house and another level of government? Or do you say, Chuck, tell me if this is something that's in your wheelhouse and you do it effectively, if that's what you're doing right now, and say, no, these cross that threshold, so let's put them in this six to get to outside and then get a bid on all six of them and come out $25,000 a piece, basically. And we couldn't do that in-house for that. When you figure PERS, vacations, and all the other stuff into it, it would not get done. Yeah, in-house.
It's really staffing time. That's why we were doing the surveying, because we have surveying capacity right now. And that's why we have the inspection.
And as it stands, you can take those six covers, hand it off to this company, and then basically you're just keeping tabs and
yeah.
And okay. rather than that frees you up to do other things that we can do within your realm of work. I think we do need, let's put this off for 1 week. Does that give you some kind of idea what we're looking for here?
Yep, we can get you more back in data.
Okay. And I, and if there's only six projects, I don't know, it's probably in here somewhere what those six projects are.
Yeah, the six.
It's listed in there, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Next up is item 2A, Public Works. Rob Brandis, Public Works Director. Department update.
Good morning, Rob.
Hey there.
So I'll start with the lousy news. We check about once a year, and it's always lousy. Annual vandalism costs, 15-16, we're at 47,000 for signs. 16-17, 58,000. This year, through 6 months, we're at 30,000 again. So we're on pace for $60,000 of sign replacement due to vandalism. And for a longer picture, back when I was doing the budget still, 15-17 years ago, it was about 18,000 years. So it's probably tripled over 15 years. And sadly, 30% of that's probably on 10 roads. We do categorize people plowing through a stop sign as vandalism. Some of those are likely a vehicle that just took a turn wide, but the vast majority of that is folks shooting them up, stealing them, painting driving them through them on purpose.
Yeah. Spray paint them or
yeah, whatever else. And
it's too bad you can't put them 20 feet high, but then nobody'd see it.
I like the one in Ashland, yeah, the Mary Jane Street or whatever, they've got it up on like a 14 foot. Yeah.
And if, when you put them up high enough to repair, to discourage vandalism, your repair costs go up because you're
and they're out of the line of sight too. Yeah, folks aren't looking for street signs.
We have our own sign department out there at Public Works. Does it pay for itself? I mean, do we have enough sign, you know, people wanting signs that we make custom signs and so on and so forth in-house rather than?
We do both ways. So stop signs and cookie cutter stuff we order out. If it's more okay. Specific cuts or street signs, that's going to have to be cut in-house, and we do it in-house.
And then you can do that.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So cost of doing business, unfortunately. Wish I had a good answer for it.
On car accidents and stuff, if it take out a stop sign and whatever, do you generally bill the insurance company on that?
If we got a spot to get them, absolutely, like guardrail or anything else. Yep. The Merlin Sidewalk project that we talked about is moving forward. We're going to have a meeting to get set up with you to kind of get you a final in the next week or two. Got easements from probably 75% of the folks out there now. I've got a few more that we're still working with. Got a couple that are concerned they're going to lose a bit of parking, which is effectively road right away, which unfortunately that's a sideline of one of these projects. But given the crash history, the speeds going through there, it's time to bring that area up to some better bike ped facilities.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you get a sidewalk in, it helps businesses. Folks can walk a half block to go to a restaurant, but it will clean it up quite a bit and get a little more access control because you go out there on a Saturday morning in the summer and it's willy-nilly.
I don't know whether Merlin's going to be real, that they're going to really even care about bike ped aspect out there.
As much as anything, though, it's just separating them from the traffic. You know,
it's not always just the residents either. It's the tourists that come.
Right, people that come through there.
I was shocked. We looked at the counts, and the most recent was summer of 15, and it was right past the turn there at Baldini's. It was 6,000 cars a day in the ADT. The 85th percentile was 39 miles an hour. Yeah, that kind of popped my eyes open, too.
Good
so,
night.
Yeah, we need to get pedestrians off
40 miles an hour through there.
Yeah, and I can't accept the argument, well, nobody's been hit there yet. Well, and that's only a matter of time. And folks are scrambling across the road.
Yeah. With all the rafting and stuff going on out there, people running back and forth.
Folks carrying a sack of groceries and whatever to go. You got it. So we're getting closer on that, but we will have a meeting with you. I think we're going to do a second meeting with just some of the business owners out there. We had an open house last fall, but one more just to kind of get them closer to.
Talk about what Julie had proposed something, I think, to the full board about.
Some street lights potentially.
Yeah, but or just putting in chase right now to run the wire.
Yeah, eventually. We're not getting into the street was the only thing. So, I mean, we could look at sleeving it under the sidewalk, but all we're buying is 4 or 5 feet of conduit, and we don't know where they're going to go at this point. So I would be hesitant to pre-stage any of that stuff. I mean, we'll look at it, but my sense was it may be easier to just cut out those few sidewalk panels in the future if it actually happens.
It's the wiring between them. So it's not as though you just
if you could put a piece of pipe in between where
yes.
your potential
if we could run it back to sidewalk within the public right away, we can look at doing
a piece like this to get to the end of that pipe and
right.
make your connections
right
rather than saying we got to dynamite
right.
up the hole
right.
or go inboard of that with a utility easement
right
that's
more ground from the...
Yeah, we could do it now, I think it would just...
She didn't have a lot of specifics in terms of where they were going to lie. If we've got an easy way, we can kind of say that's where we think it could. I'm not at all opposed to
using conduit. Whatever a standard size, where is it? Is it on the outside or the inside of it? And that's where the conduit should run. And we just keep that in our plans, and so that people know that, you know, in a year or two, if they want to put in lights all the way down each side, is it each side?
I think her proposal was for both sides.
No, I mean the sidewalks.
Oh yeah, both sides.
Yeah, so you just run a conduit in the concrete.
Run a conduit. I think I would like to entertain that, to put a conduit in for right now for future, and I don't know, you know, for her to say, well, I'm going to want them every 125 feet, and she brings all that information to you because that's her want list, and then somewhere along the line, we find out that the national standard is every 175 feet. I don't want to be putting in stuff that's not going to work later on. So you both need to be in the room and talk
right,
about that.
Right.
If you're going to talk street lights.
Right.
I don't think you need to know where they're going if you're going to punch into just conduit and run.
I guess just run the conduit the whole way and then just punch it to wherever, you know, it's down there and it's 2 feet in from the curb or whatever.
Right. She mentioned fiber as well. There's already fiber running through there, so I'm not quite sure how to handle that one.
And so. I think fiber in metropolitan areas is short-sighted. It's not going to be... fiber.
Not for long.
No.
Okay, going back.
So we are in the loop with her on that one. The first leg of the Avista project was done. This was us chipping basically for on our roads, but for them above their gas mains. So this was the east-west connection, and ended up being about $22,000, and they just paid the road to check to us, boom, done. So we basically did $22,000 of chipping on our own road for free, and it was a heavier job than usual, so I think the actual value is probably $30,000. We'll be starting on that north-south leg here shortly. So it was a win-win. They were thrilled. So we're going to make sure that if they got any other spots, let us know. We'll happily go do more.
That's great.
Yesterday we had our kickoff teleconference for the TSP, Transportation System Plan update. Kittleson & Associates was selected as the provider. They've done quite a bit of work for the city. I don't think we've used them. If we have, it's been a while. But so at this point now, they've kind of got their boilerplate scope, and now is when we can weigh in and say, hey, we'd like to look at this, and this, added to that, or taken away from that. That kind of then works in conjunction with ODOT to determine what the budget is. But unless we ask for the moon, we should have it be 100% paid for through state grants. So
great.
That'd be a cool thing. It's a long process. I'm guessing the contract probably won't be signed for 6 months, and the TSP won't be in the can for probably 2 years. It's just there's so many stakeholder groups, you know, you're talking rail, air, bike, ped, on, and then all the land use stuff. But ball's rolling, so that's pretty exciting.
Who's the city using?
They ended up with David Evans, and they were interested and then pulled out about 3 or 4 weeks beforehand with ours. So I don't know if it was just lack of staffing or whatever else. Yeah, would have been a lot of crossover for them. I kind of figured they're already, you know, it theoretically ends the UGB, but a lot of the same traffic counts and background information, but I was kind of surprised.
Don't get confused by working on 238 or off 238 at 1.199.
Yeah,
that seems kind of strange. I think you know, we use 1% of our gas tax for bike ped.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we could use that in a strategic way, or if we do, I'm not familiar with it. I know you use it to increase the shoulder width on when you're doing chip seal or repaving. If we don't do that very often, but to facilitate loops so that people have an opportunity to, you know, get out there. Not that it's a patch. I'm not sure how it's done, but if it's a patch out here and then it's a patch out there, that's 3-4 miles or whatever.
How do you connect them?
We're always looking for infill. Another project we're going to look at this next year is like there's at the end of G Street before Lincoln, there's a couple of stretches, probably 300 or 400 feet of sidewalk to finish. And if we can get the JX worked out with the city to do Lincoln, so then you complete that whole loop down Bridge Street. So, yeah, a lot more bang for the buck on
I've always
infill.
Suggested to them, instead of going on Lincoln and putting a whole bunch of bike ped element onto that Lincoln Road, is to go to the back side of that between, like, say, the veterinary and the housing track back there, and put a dedicated bike path, pedestrian path, to connect over to the sidewalk they have at Bridge Street to go on down to the thing. Keep it off of Lincoln Road.
Right.
You know, and you know, have those contractors or whoever the developer is over there. But yeah, we'll dedicate a 10-foot wide strip at the bottom, the back side of all our stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a strip all the way
we
through.
We did
there
mention
anymore.
This jurisdiction exchange at the quarterly meeting with the city, and whatever we can do to move that forward.
And what you proposed.
They didn't say anything back.
You mean the road transfer?
Yes.
Okay.
All of it.
The UGB's coming up again, you guys don't have to agree to the UGB, so.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah, so that might be a debate.
But give me something to work with and say no to, but.
Last one, what I think is gonna be the final meeting with Enterprise Rental Cars, that was when you said yesterday.
Yeah.
They kinda gave us a close to final proposal, so I'm gonna sit down and crunch numbers with Ted and with Arthur. My gut tells me it's probably not gonna pencil out, but we'll come back to you and get you some full-blown numbers to say, here's where it gets us. Really, the bigger question gets to be, do we take that initial upfront, glut of cars that they could get us? Cause the county fleet fund doesn't have $600,000 laying around to go buy 20 new cars and modernize the fleet a bit. The flip side being, obviously, Enterprise wouldn't be leasing us these cars if they weren't making good money on it, so we're gonna have some numbers tightened up within the week and.
I would, as part of negotiation, I think I ask if along with their car, do they take on maintenance, like oil changes and stuff? And if they don't, it would be advantageous to them, I think, because we could really take those cars for 3 years and never touch them.
That's what their model's based on. It's basically getting rid of the cars before they even hit brake jobs.
Right. So, that's their model. That's okay, because then we don't have to mess with brake jobs. We don't have to mess with any of that.
We can employ that same model in-house.
If they'll take the oil change aspect out of it and just say, we're going to take care of all the oil every 3,000 miles, you just take it to Jiffy Lube or Ajax, lube and oil, and it's in that contract. That's another thing you don't have to do. You don't have to take that thing out of service and have it in your tying up your lot for a day while it's getting queued in.
Turning them sooner than we're not getting into brake jobs and rebuilds and all that good stuff. Yeah. So okay, one last quick one. So I want to take another angle to see if this is maybe a little more useful for the board. The last one didn't seem as useful. So this is the update for the management partners. What I've basically done is go back to their matrix format and update it, and then on the comments side is what's happening, or references back to the report and recommendation from 3 months ago. If that format generally works for you guys, I will just go ahead and get, that's just the priority one to give you a sample, but if that works, I will get you the sample two and the priority two and three later on today.
Let's schedule a meeting for an update and questions at some point in the next week or two.
I'll shove ahead with the two and three though, and then
this is good.
I know, like with the one we came up with Ted the other day, it was a two-pager. I'm hoping you're not going to want two-page answers to all 64 of these, but if there's ones you want to see more info, then we'll crank it out.
Highlight those.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I think
we'll need
those.
I need one of those for Ricky and one for Commissioner Morgan.
And so then one more kind of in that vein. So if you said, hey, I want to see more info on what the chip seal looks like, this would be kind of the full-blown soup to nuts in terms of, hey, here's how we evaluate roads for chip seal. So really what you got the front page here is our scoring system. And then behind that, you'll see the actual spreadsheet we do every year where we assign values to roads based on width, ADT, number of cracks, all that stuff. I'm not sure why management partners didn't come up with or see a lot of these things. I don't know if they just didn't get every bit, last bit of info, or didn't know what to ask for, but a lot of the stuff they asked for, it's already there and we do it. So I'm trying to gauge how much, because I don't want to flood you guys with 6 pages of backstory on stuff that you don't care about, but I think this is kind of the level of detail I can give you on any ones you want to see more info for.
The big picture is so if we're doing 25% because of the lack of resources, how are we aspiring to get to 100%?
Right.
And a timeline for that.
And what are the steps to get there? What are the decision points for the board saying, we're not going to maintain 100 miles anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to reduce our portfolio to 482 instead of 582. Mm-hmm. We're not taking on any more private roads. Just Douglas County's not doing that. It's those kinds of proposals that we can draw a line in the sand and say, we will achieve 100% of the maintenance on the roads we say we're going to maintain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
in what time frame? What anticipated time frame is it going to be? Are we going to be up to being able to handle 100% of what we say we're going to do in 5 years or 10 years?
Going back to the original report and recommendation I talked about in there, the 3-year time frame, that I think that's going to get us back to whole on chip seal, vegetation, the various, ditching, components, that kind of things. We're not going to be all the way back there on bridges and major culverts in 3 years, but I'll go into a lot more of that as the budget gets closer. Part of that gets baked into the TSP as well. Well, I didn't mention, the ones that I've got slightly shaded here, those have a TSP element to them as well.
Okay.
So I want to at least get you guys enough to kind of bridge the gap before the TSP's done, but say, here's what we're doing those 2 years.
Cool.
So, okay, so if that general format works, I'll crank out 2 and 3, and I'll drop those off today or tomorrow here as well.
Okay.
Cool.
This is enough to do.
Thank you very much. Anything else for Public Works?
Nothing exciting this morning. Had a little bit of, dusting here and there, 6 inches on the other side of North Applegate, I guess, but nothing came down and nothing flooded.
I was able to get my garage door open, so I came in.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Okay, item 3, finance report, business update. Do you have anything?
Commissioner DeYoung, Mr. Yes. Chair, I think we should move right to 4-H and Arthur can come back.
Yeah, okay. 4-H, we can, ready? John?
We can pause and reconvene after that.
After that, because I would like to be out to that.
Okay.
I think that's important.
I think it is. So.
I do too.
And, Mr. Punches has got a short list, so.
Yep.
Sure. So you'll have to convene as the Josephine County 4-H Extension Service District.
So we will take a recess on our administration workshop this morning. We will go into recess at 9:40 a.m.
And we'll reconvene.
And then we will
reconvene. You probably won't be back by 11.
Let's reconvene. Should we go after lunch at 1?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
And we'll reconvene at 1 p.m.
1:30
p.m.
Perfect.
Got it. You write that down, Ricky, and we're all set to go. And today is Thursday, January 25th, 2018. It is 9:41 a.m. Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Hare, convening as a governing body of the 4-H Extension Service District. In attendance is John Punches. And item number 1 is consider longevity credit offer from the Special District Insurance Services, SDIS.
Mr. Yes. Punches. So we have, for as long as I have been familiar with the district, it's always obtained its insurance through this kind of subunit of the Special Districts Association, and they provide specialized insurance for our district and other districts besides. One of the things that they offer is that if we will agree to a 2-year kind of commitment to that, then they basically give us almost $600 off on approximately $3,500 insurance bill. So we've done this in the past, we've done it each year, and so this is just their annual request for that. I don't feel comfortable signing it myself. It really should be somebody, a member of the board, to do that. And so this is just a request to approve their request for a commitment to purchase our property and liability insurance through December 31st of 2019 from them, and then return they give us a $588 credit.
I'd make a motion to approve such a request.
Yeah. And if you would, within that, just they only have one line on here, so if you
approve the, chair to sign on behalf of the board.
Perfect. Okay. Yep.
Then moved. I'll second that. Any other further discussion?
No, thanks, Mr. Punches.
Seeing no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then my second item was just to kind of have a conversation there. At a previous meeting, we had talked about ideas for a potential relocation spot for the extension office. We have some roof repair shingles coming off the building that I'm going to need to take care of if there's nothing in the immediate future.
Nothing in the immediate future. We need to take care of the roof.
So if we could, at some point, let's schedule a time to further that conversation.
Well, let's just have you and I kind of spitball.
Sure.
I prefer not to have the board try to make sausage.
Right.
So if you and I can kind of kick some tires, drive around a little bit. I do have some thoughts, but we can go into that at some future date. I think my original thought isn't going to work out. It's not big enough. It's a great spot for forestry and parks.
Okay.
Your footprint needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
And
good. Okay. So that just gives me the information that I need, and I'll forge ahead and get some repairs done for now, and we'll not plan that anything's going to happen in the near future.
No, but we need to plan.
Okay.
So we'll just and the discussion on moving is just going to get take place between you two?
I think so. From
and then you'll bring us some sort of results.
Options.
Formative at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. That's what I need.
I think my thought was we'll assess your needs, what you need, and then we'll try to go out there and find a couple of different options.
Yeah. Sure.
And
you bet.
Bring them back to the board.
You bet.
Okay. Good. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Punches.
Thank you.
Anything else, Commissioner Harris?
No.
With no further matters, the meeting is adjourned of the 4-H Extension Service District at 9:44. And we will take a recess.
Nice job.
Until 1:30 this afternoon.
Perfect.
Thank you both.
Okay for all of you.
How's it going? Yeah,
always. I just moved that slide switch down.
I knew now.